If I said to you this morning, and you youngsters at the back, do you have Bible verses that mean something to you, that God has spoken to you in the past, and they sort of, you sort of remember them, and they, and then when you read them again, it reminds you of how God spoke to you through his word. Do you have verses like that? I'm not going to ask you to what they are or anything. Don't panic. Don't worry. Because in the Bible, yes, every verse is equal to any other verse. They're all the word of God. But sometimes there are verses that really speak to us, that really have something important to say. And I want to share, well, I'm going to say maybe five, but I'll see how far we get. And so the first one, it's in Matthew 6, 33 to 34. Now we can have it on the, oh, you see, he's ahead of me already. So you can either, can someone just read it from the screen or read it from your Bible?
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Thank you. Well known, isn't it? So it's not just me. These are well known verse. But if I asked you, and if I asked you to be really honest, and if I asked you, unless this just happens to me and one or two others, anxiety is a problem. But it says there, do not be anxious about tomorrow. And we need to really, and this is a verse that of lately has become so, how shall I put it, so vital. Because I am prone, see, I sometimes wonder, should I admit these things? I am prone to anxiety. I am prone, it's in my genes, my dad, my sister. There are relations, and therefore we have an inclination for anxiety. Other people have inclinations to other things, which I, thank God, do not have. But I do have an inclination towards anxiety. And then I come to this verse says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. And therefore, what does it say? It says, being anxious about tomorrow is going to make how much difference to you? Absolutely nothing. And what I'm going to share in these verses is if we have a relationship with Jesus, if we have a relationship with the Father, it will help us to, therefore we don't get these anxiousness. And you know what I found out? If we would only seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, it will have a tremendous effect on our anxiety. If we are putting him first, if we are praying and seeking him first, it will help us, well, it helps me, not to be anxious for tomorrow. So I'm not trying to say that none of us will ever experience anxiety as believers, because we will. But if we want to be what Jesus is saying there, is to seek his kingdom. And sometimes the problems in our lives, and sometimes the circumstances and situations we go through, is because we are not seeking him, his ways, his will for our lives. You know, you might not have heard of her, but there's a missionary called Rosalind Goforth. And this was in the day and age in which people dressed up for special occasions. And it had come to the Easter service. And she didn't have what was called then an Easter dress. And she knew that all the other girls and ladies would have their finest dresses on. And she just didn't have one. Didn't have one. And you know what that caused? That caused her to be anxious. That caused her that she was going to feel humiliated because all she had was the dress she wore for Christmas. And so she was deciding not to go to the service on Easter Sunday because she didn't have a dress. And then she read this verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And she read the previous verses, and it talked about clothes. Sunday came, she still didn't have a dress, but she said, I'm going to put God first. And she went to the service, and she didn't feel anxious, and she didn't feel humiliated. Why? Because she had sought him first. And then, do you know what happened on the Monday? Now, this I can only repeat the story, because in my head, Monday would be a bank holiday. But this is the story. On the Monday, presumably not through the post, her auntie gave her a parcel. Guess what was in the parcel?
New dresses.
And then she saw that she sought God's kingdom first. And then he added to her. But she had to go to that service. Do you see how seeking his kingdom is where we should be? And her prayer was really answered, wasn't it? Her prayer that God would add those things to her. Well, we just watched a little thing about Mary Slessor, about her hard life, her father being alcoholic, that hard life she had in Africa. She had malaria several times. This is what she says. My life is one long daily hourly record of answered prayer for physical health, for mental well-being, for guidance, for errors and dangers averted, to able to give the gospel, for food provided at the exact hour needed, for everything that goes to make a life and my poor service, I can testify with a full and often wonder-stricken awe that I believe God answers prayer. That was Mary Slessor. And we saw she didn't have a wonderful house. She lived just yards away from a jungle. And yet she could say, God answered my prayer. God supplied because she sought his kingdom first. Isn't that wonderful? And so the question this morning is this. Are we seeking him first? Because if we are seeking him first, it will have an impact on our lives. Because as I've been thinking on these verses of late, one thing comes to me about this. If we allow anxiousness to get a root and a grip in our lives, we're saying we're not important to God. We're saying we're not of value to God. When Jesus said, seek ye first, he said, aren't you more valuable than what God has created? Aren't you more valuable when you look at creation? And God provides for them. Seek his kingdom first. Let's go on to another one. 1 John 1:7-9. If somebody would like to read that for me, please.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Isn't that wonderful? I quote the bottom, the verse 9, most communion services. But look, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus does what? Cleanses us from all sin. Do we ever think about what that means? He cleanses us. It's not a little, not most, not the majority, not nearly all. It's all sin. Charles Finney tells this story. He had preached, and afterwards this man came up to him and said, I need to talk to you. But the people that were with Charles Finney from that town said, you mustn't talk to him. Don't go to him. He's the lowest of the low. But Charles Finney went with him. And what this man did, he took out a gun. But he wasn't going to shoot Charles Finney. He took a gun out and said, I've shot 4 people with this gun. Does the blood of Jesus cleanse me from all sin? And he went, yes. the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. He said, come with me. And he took Charles Finney to a brothel that he owned. And he said, this is how I earn some of my living. Can God cleanse me from all sin? And Charles Finney said, yes, he will cleanse you from all sin. Then he told him he cheated on his wife 5 times and asked again, will he cleanse me from all sin? And Charles Finney said, yes. Then he began to weep and he repented and he gave his life to Jesus. Because that's the power of the word of God. Now, you might say technically, Charles Finney, because that verses are for Christians. But evangelists have a great way of taking a verse out of context. They do it with behold, I stand at the door and knock. Evangelists do it all the time. And God uses it. But I want you to know this morning, if you're sitting there thinking, my sin's too great, my sin is... I want to tell you, he cleanses you from all sin. But I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. I should have known better. I should have looked for the escape. Well, yes, you perhaps should, but he cleanses us from all sin. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. I want to say these verses are powerful if we would just believe them. Seek his kingdom. You don't have to worry. And even though you ignored his escape, he still, if you confess it, will cleanse you. Isn't he wonderful, God? Isn't he wonderful, tremendous? That he will cleanse you and he will forgive you. He will cleanse you from all sin. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now the next one is so, so well known, I hesitate of putting it in. But let's have Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Somebody read that for me, please.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths.
Now, if I was doing a sermon on that verse, I would have something like 3 commands and 1 promise. But I want to tell you this morning that this verse... You want to know what it is to seek his kingdom first? You want to know what it is to know your sins are all forgiven? Is that because you know you can trust him? Don't rely on your own thoughts, your own doubts, your own whatevers. He's the one. He's the one that died. He's the one that was buried and rose and coming back again. You know, when things are causing us to be anxious, when things are causing us, when things aren't going right, why not just go to him and say, Father, I want you to turn this situation, this dilemma, this decision to you. I just want to walk in your ways. I just want to do it. Father, help. Father, help. And so often we don't go to him as we should. What a wonderful verse that is, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything with you, trust him. And then we've got a psalm. This is for, if you're like me and you're prone for anxiety and you're prone to other things, here's a verse for you, Psalm 55, 22. If someone would like to read that for me.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved.
See, we don't like doing that, do we? We like carrying it as some kind of, I don't know what. But he says there, cast your burden on the Lord. Some of you have probably heard of John Fletcher. And there was a time in his life that he almost gave up on ministry. He was despondent. And he was thinking of jacking it all in. And in his diary he says, I opened my Bible And Psalm 55:22, what's the reading? Cast thy burden on the Lord and he shall sustain thee. I was then miraculously filled with joy. I fell upon my knees to beg of God that I might always cast my burden on him. My hope was greatly increased. Isn't that wonderful? There was a godly man in ministry and he felt so despondent, so discouraged. He wanted just to jack it all in until he read that verse from the Lord. Why don't you just give me what's troubling you? Why don't you just give me what's burdening you? You see, when David wrote that, he was quite distressed. He was, you know, not knowing what's happened. He was under attack when he wrote this. He said in the verses before that, but I call to God that the Lord will save me evening, morning and noon. I utter my complaint and moan and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety. For many are arraigned against me. Is that wonderful? David was moaning and groaning and telling God everything that was wrong with his life and everything that was going wrong with it. And God heard him. And what did God say to him? Cast your burden on me. Cast your burden on me and he will what? Sustain you. If you want him to sustain you, if you want him to direct you, if you want him to lead, then trust him. Cast your burden on him. I don't know what version you have for the next one, but this is sort of, we started with, don't be anxious for tomorrow. What does Peter say? 1 Peter 5:7. Now, other translations don't say that, but I've got one that does. But if you want to read it from a different translation, that's fine. 1 Peter 5:7 says what? That's like the New Testament version of the psalm, isn't it? Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. It means throw it at him. Literally, throw it at him. Give it to him. Because you know what a burden is? You know what anxiety is? Because some translation says cast all your burdens on him, similar to the psalm. They're heavy. They're weighty. They prevent you from walking and living in victory. They prevent you from walking and living in the Spirit. Unconfessed sin does that as well, which is why I included it. Because we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to have life. So it says, Jesus said, do not be anxious for tomorrow. I like it because the Bible is very realistic. Because some people will just preach on that. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. And it can end up with people feeling even more burdened, can feel even more shamed, even more guilty, even more that they're such a terrible Christian. Because they said, you know, you shouldn't be worried for tomorrow. Jesus said it. And he did. But unless they also say, what do you do then when you're anxious? What do you do then when you're burdened and worried? Because I want to tell you this. Jesus doesn't want you to be burdened with anxiety. Nor does he want you to be somehow feel shame. He wants you to give it to him. Throw it at him. Let him have it. So that you can walk in freedom. So that you can walk in the Spirit. The Bible is realistic. It's not saying you will never be anxious. I don't think I was that anxious until you have children. Is that not true? And I thought once they left home, the anxiety, and even that doesn't stop. And therefore, yeah, don't be anxious for tomorrow. Seek his first the kingdom. But if you are finding yourself being crippled, if you find yourself awake at night, if you find yourself not able to think straight, if you find yourself you're not living right, you can't work correctly because your mind is full of everything that might or might not happen, then cast it on him because he cares for you. And if you get anxious, don't think I'm a dreadful Christian. I want to say most Christians at some time or another will get anxious. That's not the problem. The problem is if you let the anxiousness grow and grow and get heavier and heavier instead of casting it upon him. Now, I didn't do this, but someone came up with it. I can't remember the big word, but the word cast. See. Commit yourself and your situation into his hands. A, ask for God for his wisdom, strength and guidance. S, surrender your situation to his will. And T, trust him. That's what you do when you cast, when you throw it at him. Isn't God wonderful? And I've given you, I think it's 5 verses this morning. And you could preach on each one for an hour. So I haven't gone into them, I haven't sort of explained them, because I just wanted to say in this altogether service is this: God wants us to live. He wants us to seek his kingdom. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to be cleansed and forgiven. And he wants us to get into the habit, if we're not, of that knowing that he cares for us, that we can throw, cast all burdens on him. There's a story of a man. And there's another man who was carrying a heavy burden, a big rucksack, and he was struggling. And this other man took it off him. The joy the other one had was tremendous. That's what he does for us, if we'd only just realise that he cares for us, so that we can seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things we worry about gets added to us, but we have to trust him and put him first. Amen.